Now, my next guest is a legend in the music business. Guy Barker is a trumpet player, band leader, composer, conductor and arranger. He's worked with everyone from Frank Sinatra to Liza Minnelli. He can be heard in the movie The Talented Mr. Ripley. He's also the associate artist with the RTE Concert Orchestra, and Guy Barker is in Dublin for two big shows with the RTE Concert Orchestra this week. Hello, Guy. Absolute pleasure to meet you.
Hello, Brendan. Yeah, very pleased to be here.
It's called A Night in Soho. And it really, I hear the ad on the radio with Dawn Wedgley, and it really speaks to me personally as well. I lived in Soho for a few years. That's an amazing lineup of just the top line of your CV, of course. You're in Radio Centre right now rehearsing for the two concerts because I could hear you. So tell us what's happening about the concerts.
Oh, well, tomorrow we're doing a concert that showcases female artists, cool, songwriters and composers. We include a piece of film music by Shirley Walker, who used to ghostwrite for a lot of Hollywood composers and wrote the music to the Batman cartoons.
No.
Yeah. And then we're doing a piece by Joni Mitchell, a piece by Adele. You just played some Adele, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then we have a brand new composer called Anushka De Lorenzo, and we're playing her new music. And so it's just a kind of a celebration, but an incredibly varied concert.
I've no idea why there would be a female ghostwriter. Was it because it was very gendered then, or just that's the way it works, or was it anything to do with the fact that she was a woman, do you think?
No, I think it most of it is, you know, there's a lot of sort of ideas about what happens, but it's very, very simple. If there's very good composers, they get very busy.
I gotcha.
And they have assistants and they need some help. That's all it is.
Okay.
Nobody's, you know, ripping anybody off.
Okay, anything
like that. It was just purely, you know.
I was going a bit red top there on you, sorry. So Friday night's concert sounds very special. It's close to your heart because it will feature your Soho Symphony.
Yeah.
Tell me
about that. That was first commissioned for me by the BBC, and they wanted me to write a piece for the Jazz Festival, London Jazz Festival, but they wanted purely for symphony orchestra, no sort of extra saxophones and things like that, purely for things. And it needed to reflect London. And I was sort of wondering what to do. I had this initial idea of doing like orchestral portraits of famous British jazz musicians, you know, like Stan Tracy and John Dankworth and people and who would have been in Soho in all those clubs. And then I was wandering around Soho and we passed Archer Street. Now, Archer Street in the 50s and 60s was the place where the Musicians Union building was, but it was for classical musicians only. So all the jazz musicians and the dance band players, they would all assemble in that street in the mornings, and it would be crowded with musicians, and it became like a you know, like a place where you could book musicians. It became their labour exchange. And you get people, band leaders walking around, and they would hold their hands up against the top of their lapels and show with whether they had one finger, two finger, or three. And that was the rate they paid.
Okay.
So, and then they were, I need a trumpet player next Wednesday, and blah, blah, blah. So, and I saw this, and there's a beautiful photograph.
You actually saw this?
No, I saw a photograph of somebody took a beautiful photograph. And as I walked past Archer Street, I just said, a Soho Symphony. And I just thought, that's a lovely title. So then I spoke to my friend, Rob Ryan, who's a fabulous author, and I collaborate with him a lot. And I said, I need some help. He said, what? He says, give me a story. And so he wrote this wonderful story about one man's lost 24 hours in Soho. And all the stories are all true.
Are they?
Yeah. All the ones, you know, like about Jeffrey Bernard, you know, getting banned from the colony for drinking too much, which was ridiculous because they were all drinking too much.
Yeah.
You know, but and then, you know, you've got all that, apart from your musical places, you know, you've got, you know, Ronnie Scott's obviously, but, you know, the Two Eyes Coffee Bar on Great Portland Street. That's where British rock and roll started. That's
really?
Where Cliff Richard started, you know, when he was like the new kind of British Elvis at the time. And there's all of these places. The Flamingo. The Flamingo Club was where all the American GIs would go. And that's where Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames had their residency.
Wow.
Before they recorded Yeah Yeah and got out because they had a hit. But there were so many wonderful things about that. And as well as the history, you know.
I think Soho has an indelible sort of imprint on Irish people as well, because it's the one place we know it. We call that the centre of London, which it is technically, right? But, you know, London is 18 or 19 centres now, right? Mm. But Soho still has a magic about it, doesn't it?
I was just about to say, there's something magical about it. I mean, right from when I was a kid, you know, when I was 14, there was, I think it was Princess Anne got married. And so we all, to Mark Phillips, I think, and we all got given the day off school. And there was an Irish friend of mine called Kevin Daly, and there was another guy whose name was Andre Sharuta. And I remember our names. And he said, "What should we do? We've got the day off." And one of them said, "Should we go to Soho?" And we went and got, we found a way of getting very long coats so we would look a bit older, because we thought we could go into Soho and see what one of those ladies looks like.
Yeah.
And we traipsed around and looked up at all the windows, never saw anything. And then it got dark. I mean, we had a sandwich in an old restaurant called Topo Gigio. And then I remember it was getting dark. And there was no mobile phones then.
Of course. You know?
So we said, our mums are going to get frightened. So we were walking down Greek Street and this window opened. And this lady presented herself and said, "Hello, boys." They said, and we got terrified and ran for Piccadilly Circus Station. Terrified.
In your long coats. That's quite funny. You have been playing music all your life.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I started playing the cornet in the school brass band when I was 12.
Wow.
And then, you know, my dad bought me my first trumpet, and he was a stuntman, and my mother was an actress. And so it was kind of inevitable I'd end up being a jazz musician.
But that's brilliant. Yeah, I love that.
But it was great, because growing up in that environment, I understood what it was like to open your diary and see the last job for the rest of your life and know that it would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something you have to learn, right?
Yeah, because sometimes you tell people who don't live that kind of life, and you can see them tremble with fear at the very thought of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I started playing then, and then went to the Royal College of Music and the National Youth Jazz Orchestra. And then as soon as I was out, when I was about 20, 21, I had two jobs. One, when I was 18, I played with Jackie Sprague's show band at Pontins in Selsey and accompanied performing poodles.
You have had a varied career. Yeah, I don't want to skim over this because it's quite interesting. Your mum was in the first few episodes of Coronation Street.
The first seven episodes.
Wow.
There was going to be another point of, you know, a central point like the pub is, you know. And it was going to be a fish and chip shop, and she ran the fish and chip shop.
Wow.
But it only lasted seven episodes.
Wow.
But then she did other things. I mean, she was in Zed Cars and,
oh, wow,
and Emmerdale and all that. I mean, apparently my dad used to tell me that when she was on an episode of Zed Cars, I was, I don't know, four, and I was sitting on the sofa, and he turned the TV on, and I was looking at my mum and looking at the TV, and I couldn't work out how on earth she could be in two places at once.
That's amazing.
But, so that was an interesting, you know.
And very interesting upbringing, obviously. You have a major role in the soundtrack of The Talented Mr. Ripley, one of my all-time favourite movies. Rewatched it actually quite recently. It's a brilliant movie. And you organised all the jazz music for it.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, it was, there's an album I made called What Love Is, which was me with strings. And there's a tune at the beginning of it written by a guy called Jimmy Rolls, which is really a haunting piece called The Peacocks. And Anthony Minghella heard that. And because he said, I want there to be some jazz musicians, and I need a scene in this club in Italy. And there was a music supervisor and another guy, and they were listening to things, and he heard it, and he said, "Let's ask that guy." So it was a bit like a movie, really.
I actually have a clip to play. Let's play the clip.
Sera qui sul palco, Tom Ripley, Tom
So it actually is Matt Damon, Jude Law, Fiorello.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you.
Yeah. So
that's
so
wild.
I got, so because of Anthony hearing that track, he, you know, asked me to be involved, and the first weekend I was invited out to Rome, and we just sat in the room and listened to jazz records, and he was asking, you know, questions and all. And that tune that got me the job, he said he wanted that to be in the movie. And then he said, when was that written? And I think it was early 60s. And he said, no, the movie's set in his late 50s. So we couldn't do it.
Okay.
And the second track on the album I had, we did You Don't Know What Love Is. And Sting sang it. And that's why. So when they discovered that track, that's why that song appears about three or four times during the movie. But that scene that you're talking about, that you just played, that was one of the happiest, most wonderful experiences ever. We were on...
Wow.
We were in this club in Rome in a heat wave, and they were still pouring artificial sweat on us. And we spent two whole days shooting the jazz club scene, and it was just, the music was up and the atmosphere. It was fantastic. It was the whole experience. It was wonderful.
And there's another story. I mean, Frank Sinatra and Liza Minnelli, that's just mind-blowing. What was that like?
Well, it was with Sammy Davis as well.
Okay.
The three of them.
My goodness.
That was...
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and we played Dublin. We played at in the rugby ground.
Yes.
That was the last... No, I can't remember when about it was, but I know that we had a day off afterwards.
Probably needed it.
But, no, it was glorious. I mean, we had, you know, we had an amazing band, and we had all those amazing arrangements. Fantastic. And those artists, they were incredible.
And very quickly, I don't want to miss this. You were sitting with two young men when they were trying to pick the name for their band, one late night session in Soho. Very quickly, tell me that story, because I love it.
The studio scene was very busy in the 80s. And there's a saxophone player called Chris Hunter, and I used to work a lot. And we got a call to do this session. It was at Good Earth Studios in Dean Street. And the saxophone player was going to be late because his session was overrunning. So I said to these two guys, do you know what you want us to play? You haven't got any music written out, but have you got, do we have to make it up? They said, no, we know exactly what we want. I said, well, put the brass part that we're going to play, turn the volume up on the track, and give me a cassette, and I'll go and write it out so that when Chris comes in, we'll sight read it. We'll be in and out like that. And they were going, oh, really? Can you do that? I said, yeah, it's fine. So we did that, did the thing. Chris arrived. We played the track. Everybody was very happy. And at the end, we basically said, who do we send the invoice to? And they gave us the number. And I said, what's the reference? And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, who are you? What do we call? I said, well, we don't know. We haven't got a name yet. I said, oh, we haven't got a name. And then one said, well, we're thinking of calling ourselves Wham. And Chris and I just went, really? And then we left, and we were standing on the street at Dean Street, 1 a.m, laughing our heads off, just thinking,
wow,
can't call a band Wham, because it sounded like Biff or Zowie.
Yeah, yeah.
It just sounded silly, you know.
Oh, amazing. That's a brilliant
story. And that was Wham Rap.
So a night in Soho with the RTE Concert Orchestra is at the National Concert Hall on Friday, August 15th. Tickets information at rte.ie. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you. I really enjoyed that. Okay, that's it for us today. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Drive Time with Cormac. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Sorry for running over. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.